Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Thursday, Dream Theme Thursday out of all of the Thursdays, and I've got some dreams today, and I just wanted to make a note. The dreams, there's some people who remember their dreams really, really well, and they send us dream after dream after dream, and we're kind of growing with them. And it's really interesting to see the growth of the mind as we start to talk about what they dream about. Because it seems like the more we talk about it, the more they're dreaming, the more things are, or they're remembering. We all dream, but just remembering these dreams. So it's kind of crazy to keep up. It's almost like, you know, I know these people through their dreams more than I do, you know, as they are. But we do have a dream from Susan, and Susan has, you know, left her job, left her life the way she knew it, and she's traveling around the world right now, and she's running into different kinds of scenarios and people and changing and, you know, really great moments and then other moments where she feels challenged and it's hard and, you know, it's the gamut of life, right? It's just outside of her territory. So she sends in a dream, and she said, "So I had another dream with wild animals. Last night I dreamt of a wild hyena I kept as a pet. She was like a dog to me. She tried to eat my forearm once, but I taught her not to do that. She never followed me around, but always led the way. Then we came to a bridge, under which I saw a poor fellow human trying to escape a hyena without success. She took his arm. Only bones were left. He was not in pain, but in distress about his failure to tame the hyena. So I reminded mine to remain kind and pay attention to food, non-food. I helped her to distinguish. And as she looked around into my eyes, and I saw obedient dog eyes, what a dream." So as she was writing that, Maureen Cook writes in a comment to her, "Speaking of animals and dreams, I had another lion dream. A few months ago, not too much to it, all I remember is that I had two lions, male ones. I think I had them on a leash, but not sure. They were beside me, though. Thanks, Nadia. I can't wait to hear your dreams, Susan." So interesting. Well, I'm going to start with Susan because there's something to Maureen's dream, because there's always these connections between people's dreams because we're really not that far apart. But in Susan's dream, to have a pet, that's a hyena, because a hyena is, it's not like this big scary animal, you know, it's kind of a nuisance where it can bother you, it can bite you, it attacks little kids or smaller animals, and, you know, as far as the food chain goes, it's pretty low on it. It's not going to jump on a giraffe and try to take it down. But at the same time, the little nuances or the nuisance, like what I'm trying to say, like the things that would bother people in life, don't need to bother you anymore. You can tame that. You can say, "Hey, you know what? I can train myself. I can teach myself to be if I want to. Because I love change. I love challenge. I love that I don't know how to do everything, but I'm always willing to learn." Because to teach a hyena not to jump on someone or bite someone or know the difference between food and non-food and to know the slight difference is telling yourself that you can teach yourself anything you choose to teach yourself. Reason being is that animals are instinctive. Don't forget, animals can see home and here at the same time. There's no difference for them. But there is for us, because we can only see here. So to try to change an animal, we can train animals because they'll learn through love, and when we train through love. and hope and growth and repetition. And we realize that's how we learn. So for you to take an animal is saying that, and especially a hyena, a wild one, is saying, I can also channel my energy to where I want it. Because you are the one who's obedient. You're obedient to nature. You're obedient to bigger thought. So you knew in your dream that you can train an instinctive animal to see and to grow and to feel in a different way if it needed to. And you're saying that about yourself. And I know it's an easy correlation, well, animal and you, and that's why you dreamed about this kind of animal. But that's the whole point. Because if you dreamed of a lion doing that, like Maureen's dream, that's a different story. But right now you're working on the smaller nuances of your life, almost like you're fine-tuning, you know, like a guitar. The guitar will play well and it will sound good. But what happens is someone who has an ear for music and they hear the guitar, they will know if it's off and they'll know how to tune that guitar. And that's what's happening to you with your life. You're like pulling back and you're saying, hey, you know what? I'm meeting people just like the poor guy under the bridge. I'm meeting people and they're injured. And I have control. I have control over myself and how I deal with injured people. So anyone that comes at me, I can handle it. Today I did a post that says, you know, peace of mind does not mean that everything is perfect. I don't know what a perfect world sounds like. We know what it looks like. We know how we feel. But peace is really just knowing you can handle anything that comes up. Not being scared of an outcome or what's going to happen. That's peace. Peace isn't that every, you know, peg is in place and all your ducks are in a row and everything's perfect. I don't know anyone who's that. But just knowing you can handle anything, push yourself forward. It's all you need to know. Sometimes we feel like we have to know a lot to do a small thing or a little thing. So we don't even start because we know, oh my gosh, this is too big for me to do. And sometimes a lifetime goes by and you don't start because it's too big. It's like you don't know where to start. That's why Christ always says you have to start to start. And if you didn't travel, let's say, and we didn't know that, and you were just home in Germany where you were from, and you just deal with every day, getting to the nuances in your life is probably one of the biggest turning points, because that means that you went through this big stuff and you went through it over and over and over again to the point where you know, okay, I've dealt with my parents, I've dealt with my ex-husband, I've dealt with this, I've dealt with that, I've left the job, I've done all these things, now I'm traveling, I couldn't be happier. Oh my God, there's a problem. How could there be? This is my dream life. And it's not that there's a problem. It's life. Life in fantasy is different than life in reality. But when you get that life in reality is the fantasy. It just depends where you're doing it and on what terms you're doing it. And that when you sleep, you're actually more awake than when you're awake. So when you have dreams like this that say pay attention to the details, even the poor guy who had no success with the hyena, I was going to say hernia, with the hyena, even that guy, you looked and you're like, wow, he didn't have success with that, but look, I was able to train. I was able to teach mine. So what else this is telling you is you have the ability to take your life and create it to be whatever you want it to be, whatever you need it to be, for you to feel that sense of happiness. And as little as these dreams sound, they're actually pretty cool when you start to get into the nuances just of the dream. When I have dreams and I solve something in them, and I wake up and I can't remember the actual dream, I still feel good because I know whatever I did, I solved something. And that energy is all I needed from it that fed me. And then when you remember the details, you know, a day, a week, a month go by and you're like, hey, wait a minute, I'm starting to get that now. Oh, I'm starting to see that now. It's a very interesting way our minds work, our worlds work, but our answers don't come easily. Because if our answers came easily, then we would just have everything we wanted all the time. And what then? No matter what time, what place we are in history, no matter where we're at in history, the things we need from life are consistently the same. No matter if someone was here in the 1800s, in the 1900s, in the 2000s. Just because we're in the age of technology, it doesn't mean we're not looking for love. There will never, ever be anything on earth that we can make or do that will replace human emotion. And our dreams reflect it all the time. Notice that a lot of times when people dream, it's only about other people. There's no iPad in your dream. There's no iPhone in your dream. There's no automated something from the past in your dream. Our dreams revolve around our emotionality because that's the one constant throughout history that we will face. It's just at different times in history. And we all chose to be here at this time in history, and that's the one thing we have in common. I had to actually say that yesterday. I was at this wonderful lunch, and we were talking, you know, I was talking with a woman who also can hear God's voice at times, and I was listening, and I was hearing, you know, a lot of different ways in which she does, and I couldn't figure it out then, but in my sleep last night, I did. Because there were certain things she was saying that I said, wait a minute, that wasn't at home. I didn't see that. Oh, no, that was the one thing I didn't see, the one very thing I didn't see. So I thought that's what she was seeing. And so when I asked her, she kept talking about Satan, Satan, Satan. And I was like, I don't know, because I didn't ever see that. I never saw any evidence of anything like that, scary or burning or fear or doubt or worry or control or guilt. None of that exists at home. So when I said that, she said, oh, I know. I said, then what are you talking about? I'm talking about it here on earth. And I said, well, hell is the absence of love, but how come that energy is something that keeps coming to you? And I couldn't figure it out yesterday. I was trying to put it together. Finally, I was sleeping. And in my sleep, I figured it out. Probably Christ was helping me, but I couldn't answer that question to myself. And then I realized the culture she came from, the Latin culture that she came from, has a side of it that believes, and I know the Arabs do too, and I, for some reason, when I hear these stories that relate to this kind of thinking, I literally, and I'm not an anxious person at all, I get anxiety. Like, I literally feel like my heart can't breathe because I'm listening to that energy that's weaker than a piece of dust, because of belief in it, grow into something that frightens a whole population of people. And it broke my heart to think. And I said, you know, when I first met her, I was like, you know, Christ said not to deal with the past. it's already said and done and gone. And she said, I know. But then all the conversation revolved around it. So my brain was trying to figure it all out. And I couldn't. I was just so much information in such a short period of time. But in my sleep, I realized her job was to address that to her people. But before she can address it, she had to face it so that she understood that there is a difference in energies, and the energies we accept are the energies we get. So to have those thoughts come out, and I woke up this morning, and I even woke up early, like before my alarm, which is always helpful. But I remember, and I go, oh, that's why, because I couldn't figure out why anyone had to talk about that. But it needed to be addressed. Last year when I went to go visit my sister and she wanted to talk about it, and I feel bad. I just didn't want to talk about it. And I tried to shut her down, and she goes, Nat, I think about it in my sleep. I think about it when I'm awake. You know, this stuff is real. People can really curse you. People can really do this. And I'm like, I don't even want to hear it, because I know that that energy is like ego run amok. That all energies weaker than love are obedient to love. So when Susan saw obedient dog eyes in the hyena, she knew that her energy could take that hyena, even out of its own instinct, into a different place, a better place that would help serve her environment and also serve the dog. Solutions in life are the win-wins. When both people win, when both reciprocators of that energy win, there isn't a win-lose, and there doesn't ever really have to be. And when you think like that, that diplomatic type of thought, you can achieve so much more, because there's power in numbers. Really think about that. When we're a country divided or people divided, or, you know, there's an argument between two people, it doesn't get solved until they agree, until both sides feel, short of war, that they can move forward. It's not about winning like we think. We just need to thrive. We need to know, okay, when I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to be excited to wake up. I'm going to face this, whatever it is. So those nuances in Susan's dream are actually very important, because they create that win-win. So now I'm going to touch on Maureen's dream about speaking of animals and dreams. I had another lion dream a few months or so ago. Not much to it. All I remember is that I had two lions, male ones. I think I had them on a leash, but not sure. They were beside me, though. Two male lions. You know, the female lions are the ones that set up the male lion comes in and does the kill. And all that's telling you is you are ready, ready. Because you already set yourself up to just grow through where you're at now. It's not that you're going to change everything and all, your whole life's going to flip upside down. But that, and probably if you had the dream a few months ago, you're already kind of seeing this. I would love to know. But that you're just ready to grow through where you're at. You've done the setup, whatever the setup is, whether you're mentally set up, whether you're physically set up, whether you moved or not, whatever it is. You have grown through things you didn't think you could, but you did, and now you're ready to go into the next step, and probably you already have. And you see that growth. It's almost like a no-brainer. You can't miss it. So anyways, great, great dream. I have one more dream, and that one is Leah's. And she said, I had a dream that I tried to keep short. I dreamed I had to marry my husband's brother, although I was already married to my husband, legal in his country, in my dream. But before the wedding night, when I had to go with him, I couldn't get myself to, so I tried to talk to my husband in private about it, but someone always kept disturbing us. His brother kept waiting. I could never get to talk, but they all guessed what was going on. I was adamant, but my husband said, "This is really not nice," because they were family, and "Find another solution," because his brother needed a visa, which is why I could have stayed with him till he got it and then left him, which I considered but didn't really want to do. I just wasn't sure if it was selfish. Because it was for paper, I wasn't sure if I wasn't just meant to literally go with him to his house this night, but found it awkward to either way. I was pretty sure I wasn't finding any of it paper marriage or illegal after all. Apparently, a time ago, I had agreed to it unwillingly with a sentence like, "I could help him," uttered not out of guilt and not wanting to be bad, but I never thought my husband would actually find it a good idea, which I was being held accountable for. But I didn't think that one mistake sentence was enough for me to have to do this. Side note, although distressing, it felt like a good dream because I was adamant about my boundaries to a point. I dreamed this in the night of his actual wedding. Isn't that funny? It's not what you think. This dream is not about marriage at all. It's about how deeply you care about your husband and about his family. You've taken them in as family. In your mind and in your heart. And you want to help them. You want to help. So this is all a bunch of good feelings, even though you felt bad that, you know, your husband would feel compromised or his brother would feel compromised. But you weren't really thinking to get married to his brother because you were in love with his brother. And this dream told you that. And this dream told you that you really do love your husband. You really do care about your husband. And that if you had to go above and beyond to help the family, even though it doesn't have to be marriage or whatever it is, that you are willing to do that. This dream cemented deeper layers between you, your husband, and his family. You know how far you would go. You know what your boundaries are. But a part of you wants to protect and take care of these people and let them know you're there for them, that they mean something to you. You don't feel like you needed anything back. You were just trying to give it, to do it, to present it. But then once you presented it, like let's say once you married him and gave him the dream, you're like, oh, well, now what do? I go with him. Didn't occur to you that you were going to be his wife. And the dream made that very clear. It like drew a line in the sand that you are definitely only feeling these feelings for your husband. So keep in mind that you know who you are more than you probably think you know who you are. And when somebody gets married in a family, we tend to all feel, especially depending on how much you know the other person they're marrying, we tend to all feel that we're losing the person we knew in the way we knew them. Now we have to think of them as a couple. Now we think of them as a residence, where they're going to live, how they're going to live. Then they have kids, and there goes their life. And sometimes for parents or loved ones around them, they want to, like, snatch them back, turn back time, and, you know, have everything be quiet, or they not move away or something like that. Because once people get married, there's a lot of open doors to where this marriage can go. And we realize that life goes on and on and on, and sometimes we try to hold it back a little bit, kind of keep things the way they were, kind of status quo. And a part of you probably also wanted, if you dreamt this the night of his actual wedding, wanted to keep things the way they were for a while. You needed time to catch up, enough to where you had your own solution, and that was to keep him in the country. But now you're probably thinking, well, he couldn't really love her. He just needed to stay, or whatever you might have been thinking. But he actually got married, and that was your way of holding him into the family, as opposed to marrying him because you love him, because that's not what you wanted from him. It's not what you wanted back. It's not what you wanted to give. It's a really interesting dynamic because families have that. I remember before I got married, and I knew I was moving to California in like 2 or 3 days after the wedding. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was crying. Like, I woke up, and my face was actually wet from crying. And I knew my life was changing. I knew I couldn't stop it. I knew it had to happen for some reason, whether it was my culture, my background, arrangement, whatever was behind it. I remained crying even after I woke up because the reality was so startling to me that my own marriage was going to change my life. And, you know, obviously it did. But when you go back in time and I think of me waking up like that and I just kept dreaming, how am I going to leave? How am I going to leave my family? Who am I going to be? And it was so prevalent in my dream that it woke me up. Literally just took me out. And now when I look back, that was the beginning. I want to say the first seed of this work starting. There were other beginnings to it, but different ways to build up to that one that physically took me out of the energy and the environment I was in and brought me to another state of completely different energy, people, world. If you've ever been in California, you will know what I'm talking about. I felt like I moved to a different country. That's how different California is from Chicago. There's such a mix of people here. It's like in an international country. And I love that about California because everyone is so different that nobody gets to think that anybody rules. There isn't anyone better than anyone. Everyone's just here to do whatever it is they're doing, but they don't have to be a certain color or whatever it is to get where they want. All they have to do is work hard at it in an interesting way. And yes, there are communities of different ethnic backgrounds, but they're open to everybody. It's a very interesting world to live in. And when I leave here and I go to Chicago, in my sleep, I dream and think about coming back here because I feel like I'm out of the loop in a world that is open and not set in stone to routine in a weird way. But marriages are the first sign of a break in that routine. Because a marriage will break any routine because now you're going from your routine alone, which now has to mesh and grow and build itself to be what it needs to be. So pay attention to your dreams. If anyone has a dream, I'm thinking for next week, that they feel it's just a nothing dream. It just can be a one or two liner. Send them in. I'm starting to get to where I can read into them in a different way. I don't even need like a ton of detail. But there's something very interesting about how our minds work when we're asleep. And like I said, we are more awake in our sleep than we are when we are awake. And I know we know that, but really think about it. Even if it's something you don't share here, give yourself a moment to think about what you bring to bed with you and what you wake up with. Because your dream will tell you, it will answer you. It will show you, it will lead you, it will carry you when you can remember them. So just think of every dream that you remember as a gift, because it is. It's like a plethora of information. But I did want to thank you guys for sending your dream. Have a great day. I'll see you on Questions Friday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.